evening and welcome to the 457th episode of Travel It's Radio. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, along with my friend and co-host, Mariella Nugent-Lee, and this is the 11th season of Travel It's Radio, the show that lets you enjoy the pleasures of travel from the comfort of your armchair.
Every week at this time, we talk to people representing destinations, hotels, airlines, railroads, car rental companies, and others in the world of travel and hospitality, from authors and bloggers to broadcasters and publicists. If it's got anything to do with travel, it's got everything to do with Travel It's Radio.
And tonight, we're pleased to welcome Captain Tyler King of the schooner American Eagle, a proud member of the Maine Windjammer Association. Welcome, Captain King, to Travel It's Radio.
Thank you. Thank you. It's so nice to be here.
What is a windjammer, and how many windjammers are in the Maine Windjammer Association?
Well, a windjammer is kind of a colloquial term used to describe a sailing vessel that came from the receding age of sail. And it's kind of been spun to mean a passenger-carrying vessel that carries overnight guests that we specifically do up here along the coast of Maine. There are 9 member vessels in the Maine Windjammer Association. They were built in years varying from 1871 to 1983, so a lot of them are National Historic Landmarks. Some of them are new creations, and some were specifically built for the passenger trade, and they are all extremely wonderful examples of a very broad spectrum of America's maritime history.
Okay, let's be specific. The schooner American Eagle, is it new, old, or a combination of both?
So the American Eagle was built in 1930, in Gloucester, Massachusetts. She was built as a fishing schooner, and at that time, the fishing schooner was one of the principal members of the fishing trade, and she brought in millions and millions of pounds of fish, and she was built to fish for swordfish in the summertime and haddock in the wintertime, and she did that from 1930 to 1983 when she was bought, refit, and then put into the passenger trade here in Rocklands.
Mm-hmm.
Is Maine the only place in the country that has an active windjammer fleet?
No, but we are certainly the largest commercial sailing vessel fleet in the country. There's a lot of other traditional vessels that do very similar things up and down the East Coast, and there's a few in Puget Sound and Washington. But we are the largest collection in the country.
Captain King, what makes a cruise on a Maine windjammer different from a vacation on a small cruise ship or a barge?
So many things. Well, I think the biggest thing is you're a part of the experience. You're not observing it. It's not like going to the zoo or going to a museum. You are as much a part of the vacation as the crew is, as the captain is, as the boat is, because you know, it's a completely authentic experience. You're not going off to do a set thing. You're going off to see what that set of days has in store for us all on the vessel. And so it's really it's really hard to describe. That's how cool it is. But it's just a wonderful way to spend some time on the water. And I grew up on sailboats. I grew up sailing the coast of Maine up here since I was very, very small. And one of the things that attracted me to this is how genuine it is and how, you know, we're not putting on a show. We're not doing anything we're genuinely taking people sailing and showing them the wonders of where we, you know, we exist. And it's just a really good, wonderful time.
How long are your voyages and where do the vessels go?
Well, that depends on the vessel. So we have all sorts of vessels in our fleet that do all sorts of different things. The American Eagle specifically does quite a few longer adventures, so we kind of venture farther than a lot of the other boats in the fleet do, although some of the other boats have, you know, gone to far-off places. But usually, you know, we have a trip every so once in a while that we do all the way up to the Canadian border. Sometimes we've actually, we go into Canada, and then we go as far south every year as to Gloucester, Massachusetts. We take the American Eagle home to race for the Esperanto Cup again during the Gloucester Schooner Festival, which we have done since the mid early 80s, I think. And so there's all sorts of adventures that are kind of tied into what we all do. But the majority of all the sailing that we do is from Rockland and Camden, which are on the western shore of Penobscot Bay, kind of to the eastward out to Acadia National Park. So that's kind of that in-between section there. Sometimes we go farther south, sometimes we go farther east, but that really is kind of like where we call home, per se. And there's thousands of islands and hundreds of anchorages, and we, you know, each trip is so unique, we don't go to the same places all the time. So it really is a pretty cool experience.
Oh, it sounds it. We're talking with Maine Windjammer Captain Tyler King.
Captain King, let's talk about your ship a little bit. What's your home port? You mentioned she was built in 1930, but what's her capacity?
So the American Eagle was, so we sail out of Rockland, Maine, and so she was built in 1930 in Gloucester as a fishing schooner, as I said, and we have the capacity to carry 26 guests, but other members of the fleet carry, you know, upwards of 30, 35 guests, and some members of the fleet carry down, you know, to the 20, 22, 24 range. So each vessel is completely different, you know, and each, we all have our, you know, our differences.
Mm-hmm. How does the typical guest spend his or her time when they're on board?
Well, because there is no itinerary and there's no real, like, you know, we kind of take what the day gives us. There's, you know, we have our set meal times throughout the day. And other than that, you're free to do whatever you'd like. You know, you have your cabin space. You have all the space up on deck. There's not really many restricted places to go as far as other than, you know, places that are safety concerns that we try to keep people away from. But so, you know, you're free to pick a spot in the sun, to lounge and read a book. You can take a nap in your cabin. You can, you know, talk to the crew, talk to the captain, look at the scenery as it goes by, nice and slowly under sail. You can help with sailing the vessel. You can help the crew clean. You do whatever you wish. We also try and stop as much as we can, depending on the day and depending on the wind and the weather, to walk on deserted islands, to go look at coastal towns, and to just kind of really get the best out of whatever day we have in front of us.
Well, I remember when I went on the Heritage years ago, we stopped on an uninhabited island for a lobster bake after they bought a crate of lobsters 5 minutes before, I think. And that was the freshest lobster I've ever had. Do you guys still do that?
Oh, certainly. Yes, we do. We make room for it every trip. And we have lots of different places that we go. And I mean, we really, you know, we go to a different place every time because there's so many. And so we, you know, we don't just serve lobsters. There's all sorts of other things for people who, you know, aren't, lobster isn't quite to their taste. No, it's a wonderful cornerstone of our trips, and we enjoy it every single time.
And do you sail at night?
Sometimes. Depends on the day. I've said that a lot, haven't I? but if the evening is just right and the breeze is just right and we have just the right amount of places to – just the right kind of length of time to go until we get to where we need to go, we'll take that extra tack out and then come back in under sail. And we'll anchor just as the stars begin to show and we can still see where we're going. But sailing along when the moon is rising over the hills is really, really – very, very nice. To put it,
we're talking with Maine Windjammer Captain Tyler King.
Captain King, how big is your crew? And you mentioned that passengers can help out. What can they do?
Well, we have six crew on board. There's myself, the captain. We have the cook, and we have a mate, and two deckhands and a galley hand. And so there's a, you know, big team of people that helps make our guests' time aboard absolutely wonderful. And the guests are free to do, you know, to help out in as many ways as they wish. A lot of popular choices to kind of go down to the galley and help the cook prep meals, you know, prepping all the food that we eat and, you know, watching the, and kind of talking about how the cook is going to prepare today, whatever we're going to eat today. And people love to help us. I mean, as simple as it sounds, wash the boat down. It's a ritual we do every morning, and we all get buckets and brushes, and we throw all the water down the deck and scrub the deck to get it ready for the day. And furling sails and hauling on them, and the sails are all really, really heavy, so we have to get them up there somehow. So we call on all the passengers to help us do that. So there's really quite a lot to do in a day, and we are always happy to have passengers help whenever they wish.
Oh, that's so fun. And what can guests learn while they're on a Windjammer cruise?
Well, it's like I said, it's whatever you wish to get out of your experience. I mean, we will bore you at nauseam about whatever you'd like us to tell you about. but I mean, there's so many things going on, and we're doing a thing that is, you know, nobody works a vessel like this under sail every day anymore. And there's all these habits and tricks and things that we do that nobody really knows as quickly and as sharply as all the, you know, the captains and the crew of this fleet kind of do. You know, coming into a cove under full sail and rounding up and dropping the anchor in one choreographed motion while all the sails come flying down and the blocks are all rattling, you know, the anchor goes kersplash is... It's really, really cool, and you don't see that absolutely anywhere else. So there's a lot to watch. There's a lot to see. And, you know, then there's the weather that we experience. I mean, we sail with all the breezes, and we fight the tide half the time. And we, you know, and we have to pay attention to all that. So there's all that to pay attention to. There's the boat's history that, you know, that's longer than, you know, all our arms put together. What have some of these boats have done from being, you know, coasting schooners carrying bricks to, you know, up the Hudson River, to being fishing schooners, to being lumber schooners, to being, you know, all of these things that are so kind of at the core of kind of American industry. And they're still here. They're still working. They're still doing what they, you know, need to do to earn a living, except we carry people now because that's just, it's much easier to load. and so there's so many countless things that, you know, you can absorb doing this. And it's a really, really special thing to preserve and to do on the, you know, every season.
Mm-hmm.
And what is your typical guest like? Do you have a minimum or maximum age?
Well, I think minimum age, we certainly do. Minimum age depends on the trip, but depends on the boat and the trip. Some of the boats are between 12 and 16 is a minimum age. And some other boats do a specific kids and family trip where they lower that down a bit more. But, and as far as maximum age goes, I mean, mobility is, you know, an issue. We are sailing so that, as long as you can, you know, have good balance and, you know, you can get yourself in and out of places, you know, efficiently and safely, that's really the only limiting factor. You know, we take everyone who wants to experience what we do out there as best we can.
Mm.
Okay. And what are your accommodations like? Do cabins have heads and showers? I remember space being at a premium on the Heritage.
Some of them do, some of them don't. Again, it's like I said, it depends on the vessel. But some of them definitely do have heads in the cabins. Some of them, all of the vessels have showers on board, whether they're on deck or they're down below. And as far as cabin size goes, it's, you know, we like to refer to it as camping with style. It's, you know, they're comfortable beds and they're warm linens, and they, you know, they're very well outfitted. They all have sinks in them, you know, with running water, and, you know, it's not a hovel. It's a very, very nice small place to be. And once you get all of your things put away and you, you know, have recovered from the shock of seeing your space, you settle in very nicely, and it becomes a cozy little home away from home.
Mm.
We are talking with Maine Windjammer Captain Tyler King.
Now, Captain King, you mentioned before that passengers can help out in the galley. What are the meals like on board the American Eagle? And is that typical for a windjammer?
Well, we describe the food that we serve on board as, you know, kind of a cultural fusion of our New England tastes, and when then we bring in, you know, all influences and flavors from around the world. All the things that we really like and enjoy are part of our menu. And our menu varies trip to trip, day to day, you know, season to season, because we work with a lot of local producers and local farmers to get all of the things that we need on board. And, you know, as the seasons change, what we have available changes. And we try to pair our menu best to fit those seasons. And, you know, lots of stews and chowders and fresh breads and fresh pasta dishes and lots of pastries and cookies and all sorts of all the wonderful things. American Eagle specifically, we cook all of our meals on a wood stove. So that's another wonderful, cool, old tradition that we keep going along, because baking a pie on a wood stove, especially on a sailing vessel when you're heeled over, is a trick in unto itself. You rotate a lot is the secret. But so it's there are lots of culinary freedoms that we have, and we don't really constrict ourselves to a set menu. We really kind of try to do what's best for the day, kind of like we do in all other fields of our existence right now. But and you can kind of think of all the other vessels in the Main Wind Jam Station as restaurants. We all have our different ways of interpreting how we would like to serve the meals we do aboard. Some of them are, you know, are gastronomic experiences, and they are, you know, extremely beautifully plated. And then others are, you know, trying to find the essence and the beauty in the simplistic preparation of what we do, you know, and trying to prepare it in a way that is simple and delicious and not, you know, not muddy the water too much, and have it be a really, really authentic culinary experience. So it really depends on the day, again, like I said, the day and the boat, and, you know, none of us do it badly. Let me put it that way. It's hard to eat. To not eat too much. How about that?
Okay.
You're listening to Travel Itch Radio with Dan Schlossberg and Mariella Nugent-Lee. We're on iTunes and blogtalkradio.com. Check out our Facebook page, Travel Itch Radio, on Facebook, if you'd like to listen to any of our backlogged shows, archive shows. And we're talking with Maine Windjammer Captain Tyler King tonight.
Captain King, is each windjammer individually owned and operated?
Yes, all the members of the Maine Windjammer Association are individually owned and operated, yes.
Do the ships ever sail together?
We do, on more than one occasion, actually. So we have what we call fleet events that are kind of excuses that we give ourselves to all anchor in the same cove together, where our schedules line up, so we're kind of all on the same wavelength. And we have the schooner game in early June. We have the Great Schooner Race over 4th of July week, and then we have the Windjammer Festival in Camden, Maine, and then we have what we call the Wooden Boat Sailing, which is in Brooklyn, Maine, in early September. And so all of these different trips have kind of different themes. The Schooner Gam is kind of, I don't know if you know what a gam is, but it's an old maritime term for a gathering, and we take that opportunity to raft up together. And so you can see us all in a big long raft if the weather is just right, which is a really, really cool sight. And you know, passengers can walk from boat to boat and say hi to each other and everything. And then the schooner race is somewhat self-explanatory, but we spend the whole week kind of, you know, sailing around. And then the last few days of that trip, we all anchor in the same place, and then we have a real bona fide race to see who can get the best of one another. And we have classes and all sorts of fun things. And, you know, it's all tongue-in-cheek and good fun, but we really, you know, try to, you know, squint dangerously and see if we can get the best of each other. And then the Windjammer Festival in Camden is a really, really cool thing. There's all the boats, again, gather in Camden Harbor, in the Inner Harbor, which is this teeny-weeny little harbor. We all shoehorn our way in there and have a talent show at the head of the harbor for the crew and the passengers, which is always hilarious. And a music night there. And if the year's right, sometimes we have fireworks. And then the Wooden Boat Sailing is in Brooklyn, Maine, and that's another kind of – it's a little more secluded because it's a little bit farther down east, and that's really kind of a wonderful
private's the wrong word, but like, you know, gathering for our guests, because it's hard for the public to come see us. It's kind of, we're kind of off to somewhere. So it's a really wonderful, you know, thing that we all do, that we kind of can, you know, as a group, you know, see each other and, you know, in kind of a, you know, not in a big event setting. But, you know, we sail in the same waters. We see each other, you know, all the time. And, you know, it's a really wonderful sight to come around the corner as you're coming into the Anchorage for an evening. And, you know, there's another schooner in there, and you get to go over and say hi and, you know, go under their stern and anchor right next to them, and you have another boat to look at. Or, you know, so we very often see each other. Sometimes we seek each other out just to annoy each other on the radio. And it's a very wonderful group, and we have certainly had a lot of fun sailing together.
Now, you mentioned...
But I ask you about the race. With the race, do you have a cutlass and eye patch?
No. No, I said it's good fun. We don't resort to anything like that.
Okay. It's a nerd to ask. You know, I met Senator Angus King, whom I believe was then governor of Maine during Maine Windjammer days. What and when is that event, and is it the official end of your season?
So, no. So the Windjammer day, I don't know which Windjammer days you're speaking of, because they have one in Booth Bay and they have one in Camden. But that is not the end of our season. We actually, a lot of our boats sail until, you know, early October. I mean, my season ends October 7th. And it's fall sailing is really, you know, it's wonderful because it cools down. The sun doesn't try to burn you anymore as much. And the breezes come up and, you know, the galley, it becomes a very, very wonderful warm place where everyone can kind of gather. And the hotness and warmness of your drinks and your soups are really just kind of, you know, brought even more to light with the cold, crisp weather. It really is. It's one of my favorite times to go sailing.
And I bet the lobster bisque is really good.
When there's enough lobster left over to make lobster bisque, that is a rarity.
Well, clam chowder, too.
Oh, yeah. We always remember the clam chowder.
Well, you mentioned your season ends October 7th. When do you start?
We start May 27th. Yep.
Okay. And how far ahead should guests book?
Well, that's a funny question because, I mean, a lot of our guests book sometimes years in advance, but there's no real reason why people can't book any sooner. I mean, we've had people book 3 days before a trip leaves if there's space. I mean, really, the only limiting factor is if there's space on the trip and whether the person can be there in time.
Mm-hmm. And how does your upcoming summer season look?
It looks great. We certainly have some room for some folks here and there, but we're on our way for a good year.
And what happens to the boats and their captains during the winter?
Oh, we don't know what to do with ourselves. The boats get trunk wrapped, not the captains, and we keep them in the water, so basically everything comes off the boat, all the mattresses, all the galley equipment, all the nav equipment, everything, just anything that isn't nailed down gets taken off and stored in, you know, in a nice, warm, dry place. And the boat gets covered, and she gets, you know, extra winter docking lines and chafing gear and everything fitted for the winter. And then we retreat to our shops, and we polish our blocks and all of the little things that kind of need some help over the winter and rewrite our very long list for the spring. And then we, around mid-March, you know, we start to do it all over again.
Wow. How did you become a windjammer captain? And if one of our listeners wanted to do it, where would they start?
Well, that is a very long story. but I grew up in the wooden boat world. My dad's a wooden boat builder. I grew up in Gloucester, Massachusetts, where the American Eagle was built. I grew up in a little boatyard down there, and my mom grew up cruising up and down in the Great Lakes, up and down the Eastern Seaboard, as a kid. And so wooden boats sailing, and we had boats so many, but, and I started working up here when I was a sophomore in high school, because I really just wanted to be a part of the fleet up here, and what we do is so cool. I really wanted to be a part of that. So after a lot of working on a lot of the boats and so many, you know, years as in all sorts of positions, from, you know, being the galley hand to a carpenter, I finally have, you know, started with my tenure on the American Eagle. But as far as getting into this, it's time. It takes a very special individual to do all this, because you have so many hats you need to wear. And you need to understand the business and the boat and the sailing and the weather and the people and the marketing and the advertising and the, you know, it's just this big multifaceted orb that you really kind of need to keep a hold on. And it's a very, very interesting job description. But if for anyone who would be interested in learning more about it, I would say just come sailing to start. That is the easiest way to start.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Maine Windjammer Captain Tyler King.
Captain King, how did Maine Windjammer cope with COVID? Do you anticipate a return to pre-COVID conditions this year?
Well, COVID was quite a rough time for this fleet. We actually, only two of our vessels sailed in the fleet during that year in 2020. The rest of them, for the first time ever since 1936, when this fleet really kind of started to begin, they missed a season. It's never happened before. And we just, you know, it was just the time wasn't right. But we're thankful that the Tabor and Ladona were able to, you know, keep the fire burning and, you know, do it in such a safe and response. I'm hopefully, you know, that we're on our way back on the upswing. That would be absolutely marvelous. I'd love it to be that way. But, you know, it's kind of one of those things, you know, all the statistics and all the graphs and all the things you can, you know, try and point at and try and see a trend. You never know. You know, it's kind of, you know it when it's happening. And you try to pivot and react as best you can.
Just a couple of minutes left. Mary Ellen, next question.
Is there anything haven't asked you that you'd like to add? And how do our Travelitch radio listeners learn more about Maine Windjammer Cruises?
Well, my only question for you guys is, when are you coming sailing?
I'm there.
It's awesome. May 27th.
Yeah.
Good. I look forward to it. And the best way to look at all of us is go online and go to our website, which is sailmainecoast.com. Or you can type in Maine Windjammer Association into any search engine, and you'll find us. And myself personally is, you know, schooneramericaneagle.com. You can go and get all the information you need and see all of our member vessels and pick the one that fits your schedule and fits your tastes just the best.
Our special guest has been Captain Tyler King of the Schooner American Eagle, a proud member of the Maine Windjammer Association. Thank you for being our guest on Travelitch Radio.
Well, thank you guys for having me. That was such a great time.
And for us, too.
Yes.
And that's it for this edition of Travelitch Radio. Next week, same time, same station, same writers, same announcers, we will talk about the Great Race, a vintage automobile race, parts in Warwick, Rhode Island. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg, along with my beautiful and talented co-host, Mary Ellen Nugent-Lee, saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night and stay safe.